self-defense, intent or lack of intent at the time the student engaged in the conduct. So we'll start back with self-defense. So I mean, the best example is a kid's getting bullied, a kid gets cornered, can't get away, and, you know, pops a kid in the nose to get away. And is that something they need to be placed in DAEP for? Intent or lack of intent, a good example is always the kid that doesn't know the drugs are in the car. The kid doesn't know the weapons in the car. Disciplinary history, of course, you know, whether or not a kid has a frequent track record of trouble or has a clean disciplinary history. D, a disability. And then E, let me get to that. If the student is in the conservatorship of CPS, or the Department of Family and Protective Services. And then lastly, if the student is homeless. So these are things that administrators, by law, have to consider before they make a decision about how long they're going to send this kid away. And then in addition to that, there are some districts that I know of who kind of expound on that list of mitigating factors. And so you can find that usually in their student code of conduct, where they try to maybe expound upon and have administrators think more about what intent means. Or, and one of my favorite ones is the seriousness of the offense. You can find this in the Arlington ISD Student Code of Conduct. But despite all this and all the training that I know we give to administrators and that they've had, and no matter how many times they've read the script about what they're supposed to consider under the law before they make that decision, it's unfortunate that zero tolerance is still alive and well, and I've seen it. It's still hanging around, and so too often an assignment to a DAEP seems inevitable. and that's, if you don't know Thanos, that's him snapping his fingers and making the world go away. But it feels that way in these conferences. And I say that because I've now sat through enough of these on the other side that a parent sitting there waiting to figure out what's going to happen to their kid, and maybe things start to get uncomfortable for the administrator, and he or she's trying to explain, this is what I have to do, and ultimately, the most overused phrase I hear, and I heard it when I was a school district lawyer too, the most overused phrase that I've heard from administrators is, my hands are tied. My hands are tied. And I don't know about you, but that it turns my stomach every time I hear an administrator say, my hands are tied, because no, they're not. You have this list of mitigating factors. The law gives you that discretion. If your hands are tied, it's not by the law. It may be by a supervisor, a principal, student services, you know, somewhere along the way, they've become ingrained with the fact that they'd better not do anything less or anything different in the school district's disciplinary matrix, and they all have a copy of the Texas Association of School Boards Chapter 37 chart. I'm not criticizing it. I use it all the time, and I still use it. But they forget to read the first page, which clearly provides all the information they need to know and a reminder that they have to still apply these mitigating factors. So just because there's a check mark here or a star here where it says go directly to DAEP or go directly to JJAEP, that first page lets them know and reminds them again they've got to use these mitigating factors. And they're not. And when you hear an administrator say, my hands are tied, that means they're not using any discretion, and that means zero tolerance. That's exactly what it means. So my hook to COVID in all this is that the more things change, the more they stay the same. And I say that because despite the fact that kids have been out of physical class for a long time in the last couple of years, that they've lost so much of, you know, in class, in school education, that to go and fall back again on the my hands are tied, the same old way of handling school discipline, that's got to change. We've got to keep kids on campuses. And I know there's a lot out there, and there's been a lot out there about, you know, restorative discipline and all these other creative ways to try to deal with kids on campus and keep them in a more stable educational setting, because we all know that DAP is not the same as a regular class setting, no matter how hard you try. So my concern is that after all we've been through, after all students and parents have been through, that to go back to the same old way of handling student discipline and the same matrix and that same way of thinking has got to change. So I guess it's just aspirational on my my part. So let's talk about grievances. And I will share this meme every time I can. So that's, of course, the airing of grievances during Festivus in Seinfeld. So we're going to talk about parent and student grievances and COVID. I've got to match up my slides. Okay, so for Texas school districts, most use the TASB policy service. And again, this is, I know it's very basic stuff, but maybe it's new information for somebody in here. That board policy FNG local, that's what governs how school districts are going to handle student and parent grievances. And that's their practice, whatever their local practice is. And most of them are very similar. And under the provision of governing principles in that local policy, most of these policies say something like this. And the point I'm going to be making about this and with regard to COVID is I'm going to be talking about timeliness and untimeliness of grievances and how I think COVID has made that even more of a problem for parents and districts. So, of course, the policy says the board encourages parents and students to discuss their concerns and complaints through informal conferences with the appropriate teacher, principal, or other administrator who has the authority to address the concerns. They should be expressed as soon as possible to allow early resolution at the lowest possible level. I think we're all familiar with this language. Informal resolution shall be encouraged, but shall not extend any deadlines in this policy, except by mutual written consent or as otherwise provided in the policy.